As they move the ball up to the 8-yard line, it will be first and goal to goal with three downs to put the ball in the end zone.
So that was a definite bonus for UBC. They were facing a third down situation, then a Calgary mistake, an offside penalty has given them one more scoring chance.
Penalties do it. Gagne looking back to throw. He goes to the left-hand side, but he overthrows Craig Keller, or rather Tom Vlasic, the tight end. So Gagne still having problems with his arm in the second half.
Can't seem to get the motion going there. He can't get the consistency, and that's hurting the Thunderbirds. That play there was designed to reduce the coverage over in the corner, and Vlasic couldn't catch the ball. It was thrown over his head, but the UBC receivers crisscrossed to get some of those Calgary defenders out of the way.
So now it's second and a long 8 for the touchdown. Gagne steps back looking to throw again. He flips it over to Pierce coming out of the backfield, but he stopped well short of the touchdown. He gets up to about the 5-yard line, and I don't think he's going to get much more than that.
Well, now it's a difficult situation here, Richard, because the ball is 3rd and 5 at about the 5-yard line, and it's also in rather poor position. And Frank Smith faces the dilemma of deciding to go for the field goal or to go for the touchdown. And really, to go for the field goal is rather difficult because the ball is positioned at the right of the goal post, and a field goal wouldn't necessarily be so easy from that point.
Well, it's not going to be a field goal attempt. They send out Bellefontaine to the wide right. They might have to throw on this one to get it into the end zone. He fakes the handoff to Pierce. Looking in the end zone there. Touchdown! Mike Bellefontaine comes through, and that puts UBC up, scoring their second touchdown of the game. That's Mike Bellefontaine on a 4-yard pass into the end zone.
A good play there by Bellefontaine. I couldn't see the Calgary defender, but he got his hand up in the way there. And for a moment, we couldn't tell whether Bellefontaine had caught the pass, but he somehow managed to pull it in, and as a result, the Thunderbirds now lead. Number 33 of the Calgary Dinosaurs. UBC's number 33.
Jeremiah
was the receiver. So it wasn't Bellefontaine, it was Jeremiah who caught the touchdown pass.
Well, I think I might argue with Tom Smith on that one.
I know, that seems questionable. I thought it was Bellefontaine. We'll have... Oh, he's got the benefit of a television monitor here.
Okay, so it was Jeremiah coming out of that backfield. We must apologize because in that far corner of the end zone there from us, we're not quite up high enough to see it over the crowd, and it's very difficult to spot things up. But Bellefontaine had lined up on the right-hand side. So that's a 4-yard pass to Jeremiah for the touchdown. And with the convert after the play, goodbye Gaithersbury. UBC now finds themselves up 20-17 in a very topsy-turvy game. Neither team seeming to hold on to a lead for long.
So it seemed to be that single play by Kopp on the fumbled punt return that has simply turned things around here. One play can do it. The Thunderbirds taking advantage of the turnover and scoring a touchdown.
.11:46 left in this third quarter of play. We're just about set to kick it off here. Remind you, you're listening to CJSW 91 FM in Calgary and CITR 102 FM in Vancouver. Gaithersbury puts it up and kicks it down the field. This will be Derek. It goes out of bounds, rather, at the 15-yard line. That's Stambini chasing it there. But they will be brought back, and Gaithersbury will have to kick it all over again from the 40-yard line.
So now UBC is in the driver's seat. And don't forget, this game is for first place. A victory would move the T-Birds into a tie with Calgary, and it would also improve UBC's national rankings to boot. But now I think Gagne proved himself there by scoring a touchdown, so it's likely that we'll see him for most of the remainder of the contest. But still, UBC now has to keep the defense up. They have to make sure that Calgary doesn't get that yardage and doesn't come within scoring range.
So Gaithersbury will be kicking this one again from the 40-yard line. He will be kicking it back to Stambini and Jeremiah. Gaithersbury puts it up, and this will be Stambini taking it about this 15-16-yard line. He cuts to the center of the field across the 30-yard line, and Bruce McDonald hauls him down at the 33.
So a good tackle there by the Thunderbirds. Bruce McDonald also in on the play. Was Joe Danielli, who has improved tremendously here in his second season with the Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds, they have to keep Calgary hemmed in, or the ability of Lou Lorick will simply be devastating, especially now that the pressure is on.
First and 10 from the 32. Backs in the eye and handoff to Jeremiah again. He gets across the 35, close to the 40-yard line. Pick up of about 7 yards.
So I've got some NHL scores here. In the third period, the Vancouver Canucks are now trailing Buffalo 5-4. They were leading at one point. The New York Rangers are ahead of the LA Kings, and that's not a final score, but it's 5-0 for the Rangers. Washington is also ahead of Winnipeg 3-1, while Edmonton is ahead of Calgary by a 1-0 score.
Second and 3, they go to Jeremiah again, but he doesn't make the first down as he's met right at the line of scrimmage, bounce back, and then set back for a loss as Bruce McDonald in with a number of his pals on the UBC team. That's Jack Beister in there along with Jordan Leith. So Calgary will be forced to punt again. Very few first downs so far in this first game, or this game earned honestly, mostly coming on penalties. Now it appears we may have another penalty, do we not, Monty?
I don't know if we have a penalty. I think we have some confusion over where the ball is. I guess we did have a penalty. The referee is now giving the washout signal. Or, pardon me, there was a penalty against Calgary, but it's declined. It appears to be a roughing penalty again. Calgary seems to be quite aggressive here this evening. That's about their fourth roughing penalty. But now, because of the decline, they will have to kick the ball away. UBC electing to decline the penalty because Calgary would have had another opportunity to go for the first down if the penalty was in effect.
Well, UBC brings out a change in their punt return unit instead of Mark Norman out there for Terry Cochran. We now have Mike Bellefontaine, and I believe this is the first time he's returned a punt in action this season, and it looks like it will go to Bellefontaine. He takes it at the 35, holds onto it on the fly, but he's not going to get any farther. He's brought down there immediately as that was a high hanger and he didn't have much room to maneuver.
Well, I think Mike Bellefontaine's inexperience showed a bit there. He was unsure at first which way he would go. He couldn't get some solid blocking. Did his best effort. I'm really impressed with Bellefontaine. He seems to give a maximum effort all the time, either punting or receiving, or as we saw there, running back punts. So I look for big things from him in the future on this UBC team.
Couldn't agree with you more. If I were to pick out one rookie on the squad this year, Mike Bellefontaine has been a standout. So UBC will be taking over now, first and 10 from the 35-yard line. We've played just under 5 minutes here in this second quarter.
Third quarter.
Second half, I meant to say. Put my tongue back in my mouth sometime. 2017 for UBC. They will take this ball from the left side hash marks. They send Bellefontaine out to the left. Keller, the split end, goes to the short left side, backs in the eye there behind Gagne. It goes to Pierce. Pierce bounces off the line and goes out to the right-hand side, breaking tackles, and he gets the first down up to the 45-yard line.
Well, again, Pierce somehow seems to break tackles. That's one thing that he's very good at, despite some inconsistencies in other departments. He manages to get away from Calgary defenders on that play, and as a result, UBC has a first down with 9:59 left to play. And Richard, I think now that UBC has started to get something going offensively, they seem to have the ball for longer periods of time, and that's preventing Calgary from scoring. So it's that old adage, and that is
what?
The best offense is the best defense.
Okay. Well, we've got a Calgary player down, injured on the field. He was probably involved in that tackle because he's right near where Pierce was brought down. Fortunately, I cannot identify his numbers at this point as he's got his helmet right facing towards us. The Calgary attendants are out on the field. So I imagine he will be pulled out of play for a fair length of time. Just getting back to Matt Pierce, though, Monty, he looks almost like a pinball machine the way he seems to bounce along the line there. And I guess if UBC is going to hold on and get some offense in the second half, they're really going to have to rely on him, aren't they?
Well, I think so. I don't think we've even seen Terry Cochran on the bench. I don't know if you've seen him, but I can't see him anywhere over there. So he's clearly out for the rest of the game. And that puts a lot of pressure on the rookie Pierce, but he seems to be coming through.
That's Scott Liddell, the injured player for the Calgary Dinosaurs. He's the left cornerback. And for you people back in Calgary, I'm sorry, Scott Liddell does not look too good. He's limping off the field. It appears that he's got a problem with his right leg, although he's not being carried off like Terry Cochran was earlier in the game. Good to see him going off on his own steam, but I don't think we'll see him back for a while.
And we've got a few Yahoos out here on the field now displaying some acrobatics. Some of them are getting a little bit more intimate than they should be. Let's talk about football here as play resumes.
First and 10. This is the T-Birds taking over from the 45-yard line. On the right-hand side, Gagne drops back, looking down the right-hand sidelines. Complete there to Bellefontaine, I believe. Bellefontaine gets the first down and more as they move the ball up to about the 50-yard line.
It is a first down. I think you're right, Richard. It was Bellefontaine. I was about to say, I don't know what Jordan Gagne was doing on the bench, but it looks like he obviously has learned his lesson here. He seems to be taking advantage of the left side of the Calgary defense. Maybe he picked something up there during his stint on the bench.
First and 10 from the 53. The handoff to Matt Pierce. Pierce draws himself across the 50-yard line and fights for a few more. He gets up to about the 47.
So the clock winds down. We've got 9:30 in running here left in the third quarter. UBC is leading 20-17 over the Calgary Dinosaurs in this game, which could decide first place in the Western Intercollegiate Football League. And again, that old trend seems to be coming through, Richard, that teams win at home and they lose on the road.
Calgary, or rather, neither team yet to lose at home this year. Calgary, the only team in the league to win on the road. Gagne drops way back and complete along the sidelines there. I believe it's Massimo Jeremiah again coming out on the fullback position, and the markers move as the ball goes up to about the 41-yard line.
Jeremiah there coming through for UBC. It's another first down. The ball's at the 40, and the Thunderbirds are driving. And again, the clock is running down, and that defense is also getting a rest, and that's a very good sign because I'm sure that the fourth quarter will be equally tight.
Keller goes wide out left, and it's a handoff again to Jeremiah. He goes up the middle, but he's met quite strongly at the line. Unusual, Monty, to see Jeremiah get so many passes in this game. I'd be very surprised.
Well, that's right, Richard, but, you know, he's been used primarily as a blocking back, and I think that maybe some of the Calgary defenders are beginning to leave him alone. They're beginning to feel that he's not going to see any action. And as a result, UBC is simply going to the underdog, so to speak, going to someone who isn't expected to catch the ball. And Calgary has been caught off guard.
Second and about 9. This is Gagne dropping back, looking to pass gain. This time he has a completion there to Bellefontaine. Bellefontaine is enough for the first down as he gets up inside the 30-yard line.
So it's another first down, but more importantly, the Thunderbirds are now within clear striking distance. And that's something that's very important. The points are beginning to add up. And another factor which we might consider is that points for and against ratio, which will come into play if there is a logjam for first place at the end of the season. So UBC doing a good job to get some offense going at
from
last.
The 29-yard line, Gagne drops back looking to the sidelines for Craig Keller, but he overthrows him on the far side of the field. So Gagne misses the mark. Difficult pass, though, as they had to throw that almost directly sideways and over the head there of Brent Bodker, who was providing coverage on the play.
That's right. Richard Bodker did a good job. He gave Bellefontaine an extra push, which fans felt should be a penalty, but Bodker, maintaining close coverage, prevented UBC from completing the ball there.
So second and 10, they send out Bellefontaine to the left-hand side. Keller goes to the right-hand side. Gagne dropping back, looking downfield there, and it's intercepted. Picked up by, I believe, number 35, Tyler Robinson, the safety, and he returns it up to the 25-yard line. And a trend continues in this most puzzling of games. Perfect positions, but turnovers predominate.
That's right, Richard. Turnovers do predominate. Jordan Gagne, after fleeting moments of excellence, just simply threw a pass there, which was not in anybody's territory as far as UBC was concerned. And now Calgary is able to thwart a very good UBC scoring drive.
Back's in the eye. Larick fakes the handoff and now gives it to Beck. And Beck is wrapped up in the backfield. Randy Beck coming from the slot back position there, trying to run it around the far end, but he's wrapped up right in the backfield, and they'll take that for a loss of a couple of yards, I'm sure. So they just move it about a yard.
The defense continues to provide excellent coverage here. Calgary going for a little bit of a sneak there, going on the reverse, but they couldn't get anything at all.
Halstead out to the left, Shiroshka out to the right. Larick rolls to his right. He's being pursued by Durbin, and he tries to throw it away to Spalatini in the backfield and gets it away just in time.
Well, Larick was feeling the pressure there, Richard. He simply didn't get a good pass away. The screen was set up very well, but the extra pressure by Durbin simply caught the quarterback off guard, and he simply threw a bad pass into the dirt, and as a result now Calgary has to punt.
Matich will take this snap standing about his own 8-yard line, and back on their own 40-yard line we've got Matt Pierce on the left hand side and Mike Bellefontaine on the right hand side. Snap is a low one to Matich. He picks it up though, and on the rush gets a good kickoff. Comes back to Pierce at the 40-yard line. He shifts to the left, then to the right, and is brought down just across the 45-yard line.
Again, the Calgary kicker, Matich, tried to fake the dive there, but this time the referee wasn't having anything to do with it, and there was no roughing the kicker penalty there, but Matich seems very intent on going for that penalty. He'll do anything he can to keep Calgary in possession of the ball.
20-17 the score here at Thunderbird Stadium, a homecoming game for the UBC Thunderbirds as they lead over the University of Calgary Dinosaurs. Only one scoring play so far in this third quarter, and that came at the 3:14 mark on a four-yard pass to Massimo Jeremiah coming out of the fullback position. Thunderbirds now take over first and 10 on their 46-yard line. This could be a mild upset, I guess you could say, for the UBC Thunderbirds if they hold out over the Dinosaurs. This is Bellefontaine to the right-hand side, backs in the eye, and the pitch goes to Pierce in the backfield. He tries that right-hand side again. Not as successful as he has been in the past. He gets 2 yards, and that's about it.
Well, Richard, I'd like to find out the time of possession here in the third quarter, because UBC is eating up the clock, and they've had the ball for loads more time than Calgary, and that's a complete contrast to the first half, when it seemed like Calgary's defense was on the sidelines forever.
Second and 8 on the far side hash marks. Keller goes to the left-hand side, Bellefontaine to the right. Gagne dropping back to pass. Lots of time, but he can't seem to find anybody downfield. Rolls still further right. He's got Jeremiah there at the 40-yard line in Calgary territory. And Jeremiah coming through as a star of the game on pass receptions as he picks up the first down and lots more.
Well, nobody was open there, Richard. Jeremiah just coming out of the backfield on a rather routine play. No one ever expects to see him catch the ball so far downfield. But Gagne did a good job. He took a lot of time, and he risked being sacked, but he still got the pass away. And now UBC is at the Calgary 37.
That offensive line doing a good job so far in this game. So first and 10, Bellefontaine to the left. Gagne steps back, trying to look to the left-hand side. He had some pressure, but wards that off. Looking in the end zone for Bellefontaine. He's got it at the 4-yard line. And he'll be just short of the touchdown. They missed it just about the 1-yard line.
No. It's an interception, Richard. Yes, it is. And the UBC fans simply can't believe it. A Calgary defender wrenched the ball away and simply took the ball, and the referees allowed the play to continue. And as a result, now on what appeared to be a spectacular catch, I think the officials did UBC in on that one, because Bellefontaine came down with the ball. He clearly had it in possession. And then now Calgary has been awarded an interception.
Well, I believe that's Brent Bodker who picks that up. He's the right cornerback, and he would have been covering on that play. Calgary takes over just on their 1 yard line. First play, a handoff to Jeremiah. He's got room, does his way up across the 10 yard line, close to the first down.
And the ball was stripped away, as our observer Tom Smith has seen on the television replays here. And that's a definite disappointment for UBC.
I thought my eyes were telling me stories there, because I saw Mike Bellefontaine with obvious position on Bodker.
I think you saw what you wanted to see, Richard. I think the Calgary fans are probably a little bit disturbed by our support for the home team. Calgary fans here agree.
Second and short yardage. They just go straight up the middle. Larick holding on himself, and he's got the first down.
So UBC simply robbed a play there. It was very close to being a touchdown. There was everybody thought that Bellefontaine had the ball, and I think the major concern was whether he had the touchdown, not whether Calgary had gained possession.
Well, Calgary takes over first and 10 on about their 13-yard line. They send Soroshka to the right, wide to the right, Halstead to the left, and it's straight up the middle to Jeremiah. He gets up across the 20-yard line, or close to the 20-yard line, to the 21.
And so it's about a second and 3 situation here for the Dinosaurs, but there's another Thunderbird down on the field, and he's slow to get up.
Can't identify the number yet, but he's down on his knees, and he's got his hands over his head. It may be... Maybe, no, oh no, it's number, it looks like it could be Petrovaz, number 50, the inside linebacker.
And he had some problems last year with the knee, and he didn't see very much action. He was one of several Thunderbirds who was through for the season rather early, and hopefully it's not another problem with the leg. Actually, it wasn't a knee, it was a thigh injury, which was very serious, something that isn't usually serious, but he was unable to play, and he's now favoring his leg, but he's trotting off, so it looks like he could be back very soon.
Okay, this is number 54, if you'll pardon me. That's Adam Bate, the starting tackle for the UBC T-Birds, so they'll probably have to bring in Ron Herrin to play in the backup position. And that is Herrin lining up in the tackle position. Calgary faces a second and about 4 yards here on their own 20-yard line. Soroshka goes out to the right-hand side. Haven't seen too much action to him so far. Halstead goes out to the other side. Slot backs go to the left-hand side, and going in motion is Steele.
Oh.
Handoff here to Jeremiah, and he's met right at the line of scrimmage, but flags go everywhere. I guess, Monty, we had a little movement on the line.
Yes, one of the receivers there who crossed over, I don't know, I think it was Halstead, and he clearly went over the line before the ball was snapped, and that's the reason for the flag. Tried to time the play so that he went over the line as the ball was snapped, but Lorick was slow getting the snap.
So the penalty is declined.
So that puts Calgary into a third down situation. And they'll have to punt again. And I think this is another time that we'll see UBC trying to block that punt. It will be rather deep in Calgary territory. The kicker, Matic, should be standing back somewhere near his goal line.
He'll take it at about the 5 yard line. Match will be kicking to Matt Pierce and Mike Bellefontaine. Tight line formation. It's a bad snap again, but Matic holds on. Gets another good kick as Pierce has to backpedal and tries to catch it over his head, but it fumbles it, and Nels gets on it and gets up, but he's
He went down the first time.
Went down on one knee, so they mark it right there at the 37-yard line. 3:07 left in this third quarter of play. UBC leading 20-17 over Calgary. You're listening to This Game in Calgary in CJSW 91 FM and in Vancouver on CITR 102 FM.
So it's another time for UBC to get the ball. And Calgary really hasn't been able to do too much here, and I think that's now a credit to the UBC offense, which has been able to keep a hold of that ball and prevent Calgary from scoring.
On the first play, on this first down, it's again Pierce doing that play to the right-hand side, and he's got room on the outside being pursued. He gets across center field, though. Finally knocked out of bounds there by Bruno Jeremiah at about the 50-yard line. To make that the 54-yard line. So he picks up the first down, and Matt Pierce running that play very successfully so far this evening.
Yes, very good. And I think part of that is the play of the offensive line, which is very good, simply getting that extra room on the right. Not a difficult play as far as the blocks are concerned, but making sure that no Calgary Dinosaurs get through.
First and 10, again it's to Pierce. This time he tries the other side, and he's got room on the draw play across the 45, the 40, the 35, and he's knocked down just out of bounds there. Brent Bodker on the right cornerback position, knocking him out of bounds.
And Bodker was pretty well the only player that could do anything there. He got away from a UBC blocker who was downfield. I think it was UBC's receiver, Bob Head. And Head had to contend with two Calgary defenders, and Bodker was able to get free to put the tackle on Pierce.
First and 10 for UBC on the Calgary 32-yard line. Bellefontaine out to the right-hand side, though. He looks for Vlasic, but it's hit at the line of scrimmage there. Getting a hand on that, I believe, was Wade Buteau, the inside linebacker, and he knocks that down. Vlasic yet to receive a pass so far in this game.
Yes, Buteau doing a good job. Jordan Gagne trying to throw over the middle to the big receiver, the player who would have the best opportunity to catch it. But Buteau, the experienced middle linebacker for Calgary, was able to get in there and get his hand on it.
So the T-Birds face a difficult situation here at 2nd and 10. They send out Bellefontaine, the flanker, to the right-hand side. Head goes to the left-hand side, and Gagne goes back. He's got a completion here at the 25-yard line. He's hit Tom Vlasic with his first reception of the game. But that will be short of the first down, and UBC looks like a field goal type situation, doesn't it, Monty?
Yes, I think so. Vlasic again going over on the same play pretty well, a throw over the middle. Did a good job to keep control of the ball, but now UBC has to go for the field goal because there's insufficient yardage for the first down. I think that play was partially designed that way because if you notice, the ball is right in the middle of the field. A relatively easy field goal opportunity. I believe it's Ross Gatensbury who will go for the field goal. It is, and he simply has to kick the ball straight ahead. So that was a play designed to set up for the field goal.
Gatensbury will try this from about the 33-yard line. Casey Smith gets the snap to Gagne. The kick is up. It's a high one, and it's easily through the uprights. 23-17, UBC leads now with 3 points off the toe of Ross Gatensbury.
So the Thunderbirds increase their lead to a 6-point margin. And one of the men responsible for this lead is a rookie by the name of Matt Pierce. And Tom Smith, our statistician, informs me that Pierce has rushed 6 times in the second half, and he's picked up 82 yards. And that's why we see the UBC offense finally coming to life. So one of the factors which we thought might be rather significant, the loss of Terry Cochran, has simply been reduced because of the fine play of Matt Pierce.
On the first play, Calgary elects to take it from the 35-yard line, and Jeremiah gets up to the 40-yard line. But we do have a change in the backfield there. That is Rob McNabb, rather, in for Lou Larick, and that is a surprising switch to see that WIFL All-Star and Heck Creighton nominee Lou Larick has been pulled out of this ball game.
Well, it is, especially against UBC, a fine team, but the Calgary offense simply hasn't been getting anything going. And when you can't do that, you go for the change, and that's where the backup has to come in and do the job.
Second and four, though, Lara comes in, and he rolls left following all his backs. He's going to keep it himself across the 50-yard line, brought down at the 52-yard line, but not before he moves the markers as he gets the first down. Brought down there, I believe, by Terry Ainge or Jordan Leith.
I believe it was Jordan Leith on the play there, Richard. So Lorick is back in after one play. But still, the decision to go with McNabb really is not too surprising as long as you have faith in that backup. You want to get something going.
First and 10, this is a sideline pass to Jeremiah. He hits it as soon as he gets it at the center field mark. Terry Ainge in there to knock him down along with Jack Bistra. And Mark Norman, he'll pick up a gain of about 4 yards.
So, some good coverage there, Richard.
Just 5 seconds left to go in this third quarter, but of course that doesn't really matter to Calgary. They'll just take the ball the other side of the hash marks.
That's right. There won't be much room to move there. And we see now down on the field is UBC offensive line, or pardon me, defensive lineman. Number 57 for the Thunderbirds is down on the field, and that is Dwayne Durbin. Durbin, one of the experienced players out here, and now he gets up. He seems to be walking off, or jogging off, quite comfortably, and I'm sure he'll be back very soon. He's one of the most dedicated Thunderbirds I know. He does a lot of extra weight training. He's very consistent in his play. He always seems to be in on a tackle somehow, and I wouldn't be surprised that now that he's in his fourth year, I think, eligible to be drafted, and he could be one UBC Thunderbird selected in the upcoming CFL draft.
Second and 7, everybody moves to the left. Lorick fires a pass at the 50-yard line to Beck, but he can't hold on. So Calgary forced a punt again. Calgary likes to move a lot of motion to the left-hand side with their slot backs, or to the right-hand side. Lorick stepping back and firing to Beck, but to no avail.
That's right, Richard. Game Lorick can't seem to get anything going. I see that, as you've noticed, the time has run out, and now the official does signal the end of the third quarter. So with the score, UBC 23 and Calgary 17, we'll take a break, and then we'll return for the final quarter of play at Thunderbird Stadium.
CITR FM 102, Cable 100 in Vancouver, provides airtime free of charge to community groups, high schools, and post-secondary institutions to increase public awareness of their organization and to inform the public about various issues. If your group would like to take advantage of this airtime, call CITR-FM at 228-3017 during office hours.
The fourth and final quarter is about to begin, so let's return to Thunderbird football here on CITR FM 102 Cable 100.
We welcome you back from Calgary and Vancouver, CJSW in Calgary and CITR here in Vancouver, back for the fourth quarter of play. 15 minutes and 6 points separate these two teams from somebody pulling out a victory here. Third and about 7 yards, and Calgary is in a punting situation. Back there is Bellefontaine and Pierce for UBC. Just two scoring plays in this third quarter, both by UBC. 3:14, a 4-yard pass to Jeremiah for the touchdown. And then at 13:33, a 33-yard field goal by Gatensbury. One of the best kicks I've seen him have all year long as he puts that through from 33 yards for the field goal, 23-17.
So the Thunderbirds now lead by 6, and I've just been handed some National Hockey League scores here. In Buffalo, the Vancouver Canucks were short, and they fell 5-4 to the Sabres. Dave Andrechuk, Mike Foligno, Gates Orlando, Gilbert Perreault, and Sean McKenna scored for the Sabres, while Tony Tanti, Doug Lidster, Stan Smeal, and Petri Skriko scored for Vancouver. And in another NHL contest, the New York Rangers shut out the Los Angeles Kings 5-0.
Just mentioning hockey, Monty, we should also remind our listeners, if hockey's their big game, well, they could come down to the arena at 7:30 tonight. I guess that game may be close to be going underway tonight.
I think it just started, Richard, and they're underway, the Calgary Dinosaurs and the Thunderbird over at the Thunderbird Winter Sports Center.
Okay, we're set to start this third quarter, or fourth quarter rather. Matic puts the boot on this one, and this will be Terry Cochran Matt Pierce chasing it to the sidelines, but it bounces out of bounds. Mark that somewhere between the 10 and 15 yard line where UBC will take over first and 10.
Well, Richard, we saw Matt Pierce back there, and I think the fact that you said Terry Cochran is an example of how good he has played, because we really haven't missed Terry Cochran as much as we thought we would here in the second half of play. Matt Pierce is doing a fine job, and I think he might have to be one of our candidates for the offensive player of the game.
Have to start thinking about that. Keller goes out wide right. Bellefontaine to the left-hand side, backs in the eye, and it goes to Pierce again. He tries the left-hand side. He'll get about 3 or 4 yards as he gets up close to the 15.
So the Thunderbirds continue to eat up the clock. They're keeping possession. They're not allowing Calgary to do anything. And a slim 6-point lead is holding up for the time being. So somehow in that time on the bench, Jordan Gagne has picked up on something, or perhaps he heard the advice of some of the coaches, and as a result he's much more poised in there for UBC, and now I believe he just drew about three players
procedure
from the Calgary defensive line offside.
It was Tom Vlasic on the tight end position. He just absolutely jumped way off the gun and drew Calgary offside, so that will be a legal procedure, and that hurts. It'll be second and a long ways to go now for the first down. Deep in their own end, they'll take this scrimmage, this ball right about the 10-yard line. This time they send Bellefontaine to the right-hand side. Gagne hands it off to Pierce, who's just grabbed right on the face mask at the line of scrimmage. Flags, needless to say, fly everywhere, and Pierce is really jarred, but he gets up. And I'm sure we'll see penalty against Calgary for that play.
Well, that's another rather foolish mistake. It's not something that you expect from the defending WIFL champions. And another foolish penalty allows UBC to keep possession of the ball, and now it's the Dinosaurs making the errors on defense, and UBC is still able to keep the ball, but they would have had to punt if not for the face mask penalty.
So they move the ball 15 yards and it's first down from the 25 yard line. If they had Pierce wrapped up at the line of scrimmage, he obviously would have got more yards if he hadn't been caught on the head. But that's a needless penalty, and UBC gets a first down they really didn't deserve. Send out Rob Head to the wide right. They fake to Jeremiah and then give it to Pierce, but he just falls right at the line of scrimmage.
I think he slipped a little bit there, Richard, but it wasn't much of a gain, as you mentioned. So UBC simply throws away a play. And one of the plays that we've seen in tonight's game is a running situation on second down. We'll see whether the Thunderbirds decide to go with that here, but Jordan Gagne has improved somewhat in his passing, so it's a question mark now.
Second and 11, Gagne drops the snap, and it's picked up by the Dinosaurs. Falling on that is Rob Prodanovic, the nose guard, and turnovers controlling this game.
Indeed, Richard. Gagne, we didn't get the opportunity to hand off or to pass one way or the other. He dropped the ball right off the snap, and he didn't even have a chance to go for the rebound, so to speak. He was nowhere near the ball trying to pick it up, and as a result, Calgary is now in a scoring position.
They take over in the middle of the field at the 20-yard line. First play, this is Spallatini taking it on the left-hand side. He plows his way, gets about 5 yards up to the 15-yard line.
So now it's second and 5, and that was a costly turnover by Gagne, because again, as we've seen in tonight's game, one simple play can turn the ball over right away. Earlier we saw a UBC interception, or pardon me, a Calgary interception, then on the very next play we saw a UBC interception which resulted in a field goal. Then we saw a fumble which resulted in a touchdown. And now we'll have to see what this fumble results.
Shroska to the right hand side, that's where all the motion is. And Larek throws it incomplete. And that's Terry Ainge providing the coverage there on the slot back, Randy Guy. So now it will be a field goal attempt.
Yes, definitely a field goal attempt. I don't think there's too much concern on this play from Calgary's point of view. It's rather straightforward. They're in the middle of the field. And the Calgary kicker, Matic, one of the few left-footed kickers in Canadian college football, is in for the field goal attempt.
Matic taking this attempt from the 22-yard line. He puts it up, and he gets it up and into the end zone, and good, but there is a flag at the line of scrimmage, so this may have to be taken over.
Well, this could be an important decision, Richard, because if it's against UBC, Calgary now would have the option of going for the touchdown or taking the field goal.
But
and I think, in fact, that it is against UBC, and they're going to negate the field goal and go for the touchdown.
Offside against UBC, that moves the ball 5 yards, so it will now be third and a short 1 or 2 yards to go. Calgary may be doing that fatal mistake, Monty, taking points off the scoreboard.
That's right, Richard. I've seen it happen before, notably with the BC Lions, and it's something that every coach must cringe at when he has the task of deciding what to do. And now there's a timeout here by Calgary. But still, no coach, from what I can see, would like to take away points to try to go for a first down. I've got some statistics here, and I've just found out that UBC has fumbled the ball 3 times, and Jordan Gagne, two quarterbacks, Bitoto and Gagne, have combined for 3 interceptions, while Calgary has fumbled the ball once, but that resulted in a touchdown, and they've intercepted once. They've been intercepted once, and that has resulted in a UBC field goal. So again, the points have resulted from turnovers, as you've mentioned.
So rather than being 23-20, it is still 23-17, third and a short yardage situation to go. Calgary still huddling there in their backfield. If they don't make it here, they will bemoan it afterwards, I'm sure, but they're in good position to go all the way for the touchdown. And it's certainly very reasonable to expect that they'll get it here. They line up with Shiroska to the right-hand side. Beck goes in motion to the right. Everybody goes to the right, and they will throw unless Laura keeps it himself. He does, but is he caught, or has he got the first down? I think he's got it across the 10-yard line. He was nearly caught in the backfield. Unusual play on a short down situation for the quarterback to roll out right and then try and take it himself.
That's right, Richard. I think Lorick there had the option of either pitching it out or taking it himself. He elected to take it himself. At first he was plugged closely, but it got away from a couple of UBC defenders, and now the officials aren't even going to measure. It is a first down. And so it looks like that decision by Peter Connellan to erase the field goal and go for the touchdown has possibly paid off, because now the Dinosaurs have 3 more opportunities to score a major, but more importantly, to take the lead.
Take the lead indeed. This time it's Halstead out to the left-hand side, backs in the eye behind Larick, and the pitch goes to Jeremiah. Jeremiah trying around the right end, but he's brought down there. Terry Ainge getting on the play, along with Bruce McDonald and a swarm of T-Birds. He gets out to about the 5-yard line, so it's second and goal to go from the 5-yard line.
So the Dinosaurs threatening again, and you can see that UBC bench, and it has simply died down almost immediately after that penalty. Just walking slowly back and forth. I think that penalty really took something out of them, and especially the other UBC field or turnover on Gagne's fumble.
Crucial 2nd and 5. Larick going back to pass. He's looking way in the end zone there for Shiroska. Shiroska has it for the touchdown. Shiroska beats Norman on the left cornerback position, and Shiroska brings it in for the 5-yard touchdown.
A very well executed play there. Shiroska, who hasn't seen much action in tonight's game, at least he hasn't had the ball thrown his way, simply caught up with a ball which was thrown very deep into the UBC end zone. And now the Dinosaurs, pending the outcome of this convert, can take the lead.
Samatic will try and put them up ahead. Score tied 23-23 at the moment, but this is certainly an easy one for Matic to put up and through and give them that 1-point lead. Matic puts it up and it's good, but the flags come down. Some movement along the line, I think.
It looks like some kind of a penalty against UBC, so the convert will stand, and I believe it is declined.
offside. Yeah.
So we'll see the a regular kickoff from the 45-yard line.
So for the first time in the second half of play, Calgary has come through and scored, but they do it in big style with a 5-yard pass to Shiroshka in that far corner of the field. That coming at 4:04. They now have a slim 24-17 lead, and this is looking a little like the last game when they had a 1-point victory.
Well, that's right, Richard. A simple fumble has really took the life out of the UBC Thunderbirds. They had so much going. The offense was keeping possession of the ball. Calgary wasn't getting any scoring opportunities. And then a fumble by Jordan Gagne deep in the UBC area gave Calgary the ball. And then another rather foolish offside penalty on a field goal attempt allowed Calgary to erase the field goal attempt and go for the touchdown. And the gamble paid off. They put 7 points on the board. And now they lead by one over UBC.
Well, you know, Monty, if this home field winning continues between the four bottom teams of UBC, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Alberta, then this game loss here by the Thunderbirds could really put them out of the playoffs, because if they don't beat Alberta, then I would give the nudge to Saskatchewan, who is the only team to have beaten Calgary so far this year.
Definitely, Richard. I think that if UBC loses here and then they lose on the road in Alberta, I think Alberta will be the team which gets the virtually an automatic playoff spot. I don't see Saskatchewan in there.
Well, the only reason I say that, Matic kicks that out of bounds, so that will be brought back to 40-yarding. The only reason I say that is because the bottom four teams have been splitting this year. But I agree with you that the odds of that happening are not too good for so many games in the season. But Saskatchewan, just on the virtue that they are the only team to split with Calgary, may be the team to watch. But given their last year's record, if it comes to a tie, UBC would beat Saskatchewan. And maybe you'd want to give the nudge to Alberta just because they have the experience. And after all, they did come off a 7-1 record last year. Very puzzling why this league has had so much parity so far this year after the haves and the have-nots situation last year. Matic tries this one again from the 40-yard line. It's a low one going to Norman, or rather Bellefontaine, at the 15. He got room up to the 35, up to the 40-yard line. He's brought down there on the play. That looks like Stambini making the tackle.
Well, I think one of the reasons why we're seeing some parity for a change is the fact that last year's teams, pretty well from UBC and from Calgary in a large part, were made up of seniors. And those seniors have now either gone on to the Canadian Football League. We're seeing several new Canadian college players playing in the CFL now.
First and 10 from the 40, tight line formation. The handoff is to Matt Pierce. He tries the right-hand side, but he just picks up 2 yards up to the 42-yard line.
And in some cases, we're also seeing house clearing done by the coaches here in the Western Intercollegiate Football League. There were several players from the UBC lineup of last season who went to CFL training camps, and I think Frank Smith was a little bit disappointed with the lack of motivation from some of those players. He expected leadership from them last year, and he never got it, and he never invited them back to UBC this year.
Second and long, Gagne tries to pass to Jeremiah again, but I guess his arm was hit as he was just releasing that, and it flops into the dirt. So Mike Bellefontaine will be forced to punt this one. Third and a long ways to go, make it about 9 yards.
And for the benefit of the Calgary listeners here, I've just found out that the Edmonton Oilers are leading the Calgary Flames 3-1. Richard Crom has scored for Calgary, but it's not a final score yet. We're not sure exactly at what point that game is in.
Jeremiah and Stambini stand at about their 28-yard lines, waiting to take this punt from Mike Bellefontaine. Casey Smith, the coach's son, with the snap. He gets a good snap up to Bellefontaine. Bellefontaine, a very high kick. This will be Jeremiah, at the 20-yard line. He gets the 25 along the sidelines and brought out of bounds there. And finally forcing him out of play, it looks like Terry Ainge. So they'll take over first and 10. Referee marking it down at the 29-yard line.
So now the clock winds down, and that appears to be UBC's biggest enemy. The defense so far has come through. The offense, when it has had the ball, has managed to maintain possession and get some drives, but as long as Calgary has the ball, they're in the driver's seat.
Yes, but those turnovers still could play a part in this game. Shroska out to the right-hand side. This will be a handoff to Jeremiah. He tries the left-hand side. He's got room across the 35-yard line, and he's brought down there by Joe Danielli, I believe.
It was Jordan Leith and Danielli also in there on the tackle for UBC. But if you notice on my last statement there, actually it was Petrovic who was in on the tackle. And if you notice on my last statement, I was, in fact, stressing the point of turnovers when I said, as long as Calgary has the ball.
Yeah,
anything
that is the
which
point.
They do to get rid of the ball, either having to punt or turning the ball over, is an advantage for UBC.
Second and three, and they go to Jeremiah again. It's debatable, though, whether he's got that first down. And I'm sure they're going to have to measure this one as he gets up to about 38-yard line, but that's right where the marker is. 39-yard line, so just as a guesstimate as to where the referee is placing this, I would say they're a yard short of the first down. And Matic is out there, I think.
Yes, he is.
Matic is out there, so they'll be kicking this one.
Yes, now
no
is
no fooling around.
No fooling around. You're right, Richard. Now is the time to be cautious. Calgary just wants to get the ball out of their territory, keep UBC downfield for as long as possible. There are still 8.5 minutes left to play in the game, and anything's possible with that much time left.
Funny movement on the line, but Matic gets it to Bellefontaine. Bellefontaine takes it just inside the 40-yard line, cuts across the field, but slips and is brought down at the 39.
So far the weather has held up here, and there have been some slippery conditions, but the weather has not been a factor. Originally this morning there was a forecast for rain, but so far we've just seen some clouds, and it's an ideal game weather-wise for these two teams, and as a result we're seeing a fine game, but still we're seeing turnovers that result in some points.
Gagne on first and 10 looking to pass. He's got time, but has to scramble again in that backfield. He flips it out to Vlasic at the 40. He gets up to the 45, where he's brought down by Wade Buteau, the inside linebacker. And he will be short of the first down. He gets up to the 46-yard line.
Vlasic doing a good job to haul in that pass, was simply wide open. Once Gagne got away from some Calgary pressure, he simply threw it out wide. Vlasic easily caught the pass and very close to a first down on a play which did not look very serious.
Make it second and 4. This is Rob Head in for Keller on the split end position out to the left. Backs in the eye behind Gagne. It's a pitch to Pierce. He tries the right-hand side and he's just short of the first down. He gets up across the 45-yard line up to the 48. But it will be a gambling situation, I'm sure, for the T-Birds. I can't see how they will mark this as a first down.
Well, I think the players are concerned about the spotting of the ball. Both Pierce and Bellefontaine went over to the officials and tried to prod him into putting the ball down a little bit further ahead than he wanted to. Also in there complaining was Massimo Geremia. So UBC is very concerned about the spotting of the ball. With 6:49 left to play in the game, they don't want to get rid of the ball. And as a result, that's why they're going for a first down here on third and short yardage.
Gagne predictably keeps it himself and bulldozes forward. And I would say he's got the first down behind the blocking of Casey Smith. And the linesman moves it to the one, and they move the ball up just a short ways to the 50-yard line. 6:34 left in this game. UBC down by 1 point to the University of Calgary Dinos. 24-23. In Calgary, you're listening to this game on CJSW 91 FM. And in Vancouver, this is CITR 102. Okay, this is Keller going out wide to the left. Bellefontaine, the flanker, goes to the right. Gagne drops back, looks to his left-hand side. He's got a completion there across the 44-yard line. And he's hit Craig Keller, the split end.
A good catch there by Keller. He was covered by a Calgary defender. I think covering on the play there for Calgary was... can't quite make out the number there. It wasn't the number that I thought. I think it was maybe Peterson covering for Calgary.
First and 10 from the BC or Calgary 44. This is Pierce. He's got room up the middle. Matt Pierce takes it into the end zone off the left-hand tackle. And Matt Pierce does it again, turning the game around for UBC.
Well, some people must be saying Terry who? Matt Pierce has simply done it all for the Thunderbirds. He was a backup at the beginning of the game. Terry Cochran, the starter, went out with an injury. And what appeared to be a curse has turned into a blessing because Matt Pierce has now scored his second touchdown of the game for UBC.
Matt Pierce, explosive once he gets that room. He seems to be awfully quick in the open field. As he shows it once again, that's a 44-yard touchdown run. And couldn't have come in a more timely situation. 5:57 left to play in this game, and UBC gets the lead again.
Just as you mentioned, Richard, on that 45-yard touchdown, which gives Pierce now 138 yards rushing, is that in the entire game? That's in the entire game, but I believe that over 100 yards have come in the first, in the second half. But Matt Pierce, once he saw that opening created by the UBC offensive line, which did a good job to open up the hole, he simply ran straight ahead, and he saw that end zone, and he reached it.
A man with a future, I'm sure, on this UBC club. And they're going to go for the two-point conversion to make it a seven-point spread if they get it. Gagne dropping back to pass, looking in the end zone there, and it's knocked down on the play. There's flags going down.
Definitely a case of pass interference there, Richard. I expected to see the flag.
Brent Bodker making the interference.
It was Bodker, yeah. Keller, the intended receiver, was pushed well before he could get a chance to catch the ball, and... not sure what the situation is here. Either UBC will go again, or there could be the conversion awarded here. And not sure. I'm a little confused about the ruling here. We hear a firecracker go off.
From what I see, Monty, they're going to move the ball halfway to the goal line. They're going to put it at the 2.5-yard line. I haven't seen a call yet, but it was obviously interference. They don't give the 2 points away, though, which is... Well, that's the normal ruling because they wouldn't give you the touchdown either.
Well, there are situations. I can recall last year a game in Saskatchewan. There was an interference call on a two-point conversion, and the two-point conversion was simply awarded. So I'm not sure what the situation here is with the rule.
Well, they whistle play in, and UBC will now be trying for the two-pointer if they still go for it, which is... the way things appear from the 2.5-yard line. There goes another one of those cracks. Backs in the eye behind Gagne. They may go to the run, and this is to Pierce. Pierce dives across the left-hand side and in for the two-point conversion.
So the cheer of the crowd told you the story on that one. Pierce, who has seemed to do it all here tonight, goes in for a two-point conversion. And that's a very important play because... now UBC is ahead by a converted touchdown, and Calgary cannot rely on that old standby the field goal. They have to go for the touchdown.
That's good play for UBC, that coming at 9:03 of this fourth quarter. Still lots of football to go for both these teams, though. Calgary gained only one loss so far this year. That came against Saskatchewan on September 29th. However, they have had a couple of close games. The opening game on the 7th of September, they only beat Manitoba in Winnipeg by 3 points, 32-29. And they also beat Manitoba 24-21 on October 11th, that coming in McMahon Stadium. Gaitansbury puts his arm up, and they will be kicking off from the 45. Puts the boot on it down the right-hand side, and this will be Jeremiah on his 15. backpedals to the 12-yard line, gains up steam, cuts across field, still not getting anywhere. Behind the 20-yard line, he's being pursued all the way to the other sidelines, finally knocked out of bounds. That's Bruce McDonald making the play.
Well, McDonald made the play there, Richard, but he could have made it a lot earlier. Mark Steele covering on the play simply plowed McDonald from the rear. He also held on to him. A clear case of clipping, but it went unnoticed by the officials.
About the only penalty they haven't noticed so far tonight.
That's true, aside from one illegal substitution, right, which not too many people noticed.
Well, there's smoke in the air here as firecrackers are being thrown up. A little early to celebrate, folks. We still got 5.5 minutes of tough football ahead. Calgary takes over on their 20-yard line. Larick rolling out to the left-hand side. He puts a Hail Mary up to Sharoska, and it's intercepted by Mark Nikolajczyk. Down at the 51-yard line, Nikolajczyk, last week's player of the game for the defense, and is he a happy man?
An excellent play by Nikolajczyk. He got under there right away. Was well in front of the ball on Mike Sharoska. And he took the ball in and he made darn sure that he kept possession of it. Sharoska did everything he could to grab it back. And finally, Jordan Leith just went and jumped on Sharoska to make sure he couldn't get a hold of that ball. So UBC gets possession and keeps Calgary off the scoreboard.
40-yard pass intercepted and brought down by Nikolajczyk in only his second game as a starter this year. This is Bellefontaine out to the right-hand side. It goes to Pierce again. He's hit at the line of scrimmage, and ball comes loose, but it's after the whistle, and Pierce will actually lose a yard on the play.
Well, once you use a play often enough, the defense sooner or later finds out about it, and that's about the fourth time we've seen Pierce go for that play, trying to drive off one offensive lineman and then go to the left. And Calgary simply had it all the way that time, and Pierce went nowhere.
That's one thing I'd say about UBC, Monty, is that they don't have the play variety that some other teams do.
That's true. Their offense is very conservative.
Second and 11. This time it goes to Pierce again. He tries the left-hand side straight ahead instead of bouncing along, but he's not going to be anywhere close to it as he just gets across the 50 to the 51.
And there's another injured Thunderbird down there. And I can't tell yet. I thought it was Jordan Gagne, but it's not him. It's another Thunderbird. And UBC is put into a kicking situation here.
Just getting back to the running attack of UBC. We saw last week where they ran a three-man backfield, putting the slot back there. But we haven't seen that at all so far in this game.
No, that's a little bit of a variety, I think, which UBC attempted. And then the coaching staff realized that it didn't work, and so they've simply gone back to the two-man formation. But it's been very effective. Matt Pierce doing an excellent job replacing Terry Cochran. And we've mentioned that the UBC offense is rather conservative, but when you have running backs, like in the past, Glenn Steele and Terry Cochran, and now Matt Pierce, who has emerged from a backup capacity, then the simple play is the best play as long as it's executed very well.
Well, the injured T-Bird is the very valuable All-Canadian Don Adamack, but I think he may be back in the game. Third and a long ways, this will be Bellefontaine punting and back to receive it at the 15-yard line of the Calgary returnees. This goes to Darcy Kopp. Kopp takes it at the 20-yard line, tries to cut across and cross the 30, and he's met the 33-yard line, but there's yellow flags in the air.
And I think this could be a penalty against UBC, Richard. Not sure what it was. Could possibly be a face mask. We'll have to see.
It was definitely not no yards on the kick or anything like that.
It was very close. I think it was the play on the tackle there, and I didn't see a late hit, so it might be a face mask.
Still waiting for the referee to signal. It looks like we've got another UBC Thunderbird down on the play behind things here, and it's a clipping call, blocking from the rear, and it's going against Calgary. And that will bring the ball back to the 17-yard line.
So a very fortunate situation for UBC holding an 8-point lead, 31-24, and keeping Calgary deep. Because if the Thunderbirds can hold Calgary here, that gives them a lot of time to eat up the clock. They'll be in Calgary territory. They'll have a chance to score a touchdown. They'll have a chance to score a field goal. And they'll have a chance simply to waste time. So that's three options for the Thunderbirds. And that seriously reduces Calgary's opportunity to get back into the ballgame to win.
Well, the injured player was Matt Pierce, but fortunately he gets up on his own steam and walks off the field. If UBC was to be without Pierce for the rest of this game, I'm sure they'd suffer. Well, we got a bunch of rowdies down on the field below us here.
And those, I believe, are some members of the UBC swimming team, known for their caginess.
First and 10, this is a sideline pass going to Shiroska on the right-hand side, but he's wrapped up quite early on the play, and he'll get a few yards at the most. So make it second and 10. Shiroska takes that sideline pass and goes nowhere on the far sidelines. I think those swimmers have been swimming in some liquid refreshment or something.
I think that is very likely. Now they've decided that they don't want to tackle themselves. They'd rather play closer attention to the UBC cheerleaders.
Second and 10, Larick drops back and he fires it to Beck. Beck takes it at the 20-yard line and he's met smartly there. And that's well short of the first down as he picks up 3 yards.
So this could be it for the Calgary Dinosaurs, Richard. If UBC's offense continues to progress, they can simply keep possession of the ball. I'm sure now that although there are timeouts left, UBC will simply elect to run out the clock. That's one of the best plays to do. Scoring is not entirely a prime concern. It's just to maintain possession, and that is to avoid fumbles and to get that first down.
2 minutes and